about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
So, you guys, what is the 411? What has everybody been up to? What is the hot gossip? Tell me everything. What are you guys listening to? What's the cool jams?
Mom?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You want to do something fun? You want to go to Taco Bell?
I can't go to Taco Bell. I'm on an all-carb diet. God, Karen, you are so stupid.
Ma'am, do you have this in the next size up?
Sorry. We only carry sizes 1, 3, and 5. You could try Sears.
What is that smell? Oh, Regina gave me some perfume.
You smell like a baby prostitute.
Thanks. That is so fetch. Gretchen, stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
And now.
I had survived my first 3-way calling attack. And with Regina's blessing, I started talking to Aaron more and more. On October 3rd, he asked me what day it was.
It's October 3rd.
Our feature presentation.
Because it says October 3rd.
It's Mean Girls Day. Everybody knows that.
It's Mean Girls Day, everybody.
Every year I have to remind you how exciting it is that it's Mean Girls Day. Time to celebrate that wonderful movie.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Tuesday, the 3rd of October. Mean Girls Day, everybody.
It sure is. Wow. It's like a holiday having both of those happening at the same time.
Right? That's crazy.
How was your walk in from the parking lot, Kevin?
That was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No trouble getting in?
A little easier than normal as someone else came out to get me. So that's all good, yeah.
Chip laughs out loud every morning around 25 after 5 when she gets a random text from Kevin about whatever the problem is that day. What happened today?
Happens like once a year. Uh-huh. Right, Chip? Once a year?
A week.
Am I right?
Did you lose your card key again?
I didn't lose it. No, I remember seeing it actually this morning on my sink, and I was like, oh, I got to remember that.
Why would you have it on your sink? Why wouldn't it always be in your wallet?
I have a system, Bean.
It works, and obviously.
I have a system, and it works, obviously. So.
And you just carry it around and just put it in random locations and hope to remember to bring it?
Not normally, but I did put it right where I knew I would see it, and then I saw it, and then didn't. And then I didn't put it in my wallet. So it's not a great plan.
Okay.
But it's a plan.
But to your credit, you didn't lose it.
Right, exactly. I know exactly where it is.
So that's an improvement.
Exactly. Thank you, B.
Yesterday at this time we had too many important things to discuss, so we didn't get a chance to do labia talk, so I promised I would have it today. And I will tell you that I heard from more than one listener yesterday who said, you can't keep me hanging. You can't promise labia talk and not deliver it. Better be happening first thing Tuesday. So here it is. Tracy Kiss is her name. She's from London. And she realized that something was wrong when she was feeling a burning sensation down below, it says here in this article.
Nope.
After what? What? No.
No, please.
Okay. Burning sensation down below after exercising. She said, that doesn't feel right. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor diagnosed that she had a cyst that was caused by friction because of the excess skin on her labia.
Ooh.
Now, obviously, I do a lot of sex, but I don't know everything there is to know about the labia. So I'm not sure how prevalent the excess skin problem is. But the doctor advised Miss Kiss to have it removed. And here's the part that where it turns newsworthy for me. After the operation, Tracy asked her surgeon if she could keep the skin that had been removed and proudly displayed it at home in a jar full of surgical fluid. So I guess
for most of us, that sounds insane. Mm-hmm. For you, no, I assume.
Well,
because Bean had his donkey's balls cut off and kept them in a jar at work for 15 years, 10 years?
For a while, yeah.
10 years?
But that was because I...
But 10 years?
Because I love my donkey. But
you cannot love your donkey without having its balls at work.
You don't love it as much. So I guess Tracy would have people over. They'd be like, hey, Trace, what's in that jar above the fireplace? And she'd say, it's my labia. So she kept it in a jar to, as she says, celebrate my freedom from pain. as it took me 29 years to realize that anything was wrong with my tender, protruding labia because nobody had ever talked to me about it. So after a few months, it started to turn from pink to gray, or had already turned from pink to gray.
Okay.
And she started to think, you know, that doesn't look very good anymore. So is there a way that I can continue to honor my labia in a way that is more attractive? So
what do you have to honor your labia?
I don't know.
It doesn't hurt, so you do have the lack of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good.
I don't know.
Just to honor it?
I don't know what's going on in Tracy's head, but she decided that she was going to turn it into jewelry. She was going to take her labia and turn it into a glittery pendant that she is proud to wear. And the newspaper describes the steps that she used to take two wrinkly, slug-like bits of her own flesh and turn them into jewelry.
Mm.
She removed the pieces of skin from the surgical fluid, dried them out over 48 hours. Then she put on a liberal coating of shiny pink paint and then an avalanche of glitter. Then used crystal resin in a jewelry mold to make the final pendant design, which she put into a choker and now proudly displays and wears. She hopes that her unusual pendant will be a talking point to get women talking about the issue of female genital surgery. Its contents may not be immediately obvious to the unsuspecting eye or to everybody's taste, but that's the beauty of it, she says.
She'll fill them in. Of course.
So she is the girl you don't want to talk to at a party is what she is.
No kidding.
You do not want to get into an accidental conversation where you say, oh, that's an interesting pendant. Tell me about it. Then you will learn way too much about Tracy. So there you go. This has been Labia Talk.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we? It's just, it's amazing. Thank you. Brad Meltzer, one of our favorite authors, is going to be on the program today.
Love Brad.
He's written two different books called I Am Gandhi and I Am Sacagawea.
And these are the latest in his long series of books that he writes for children about people in history, great people in history that they should know about, and they're so entertaining.
Thanks for that tweet. Bean is the opposite of entertaining, and so we're going to feature that.
How dare you.
We also have You Are Addicted to a Celebrity on Accident. Ralph yesterday told us about pretty much taking out Tebow on a plane with a bag. He didn't realize it, swung it around, was getting something else, thought he hit a seat with his bag, and it turns out he hit Tebow in the head. So good times for that.
A lot of people were very happy with Ralph for that, too, by the way.
We have Breakfast with Foo Fighters, which we announced yesterday morning. And we're going to play a game this morning, so you can win those just after 7. And we also have from the L.A. Kings, Drew Doughty, in studio today to talk about the L.A. Kings and the NHL. We will take a break. We'll come back with 6.7 K-Rock. It's K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
What about the opportunity to see Foo Fighters twice in like a week, you guys?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Pretty cool.
Giving away tickets to Cal Jam 17 this Saturday at Glen Helen Regional Park. And then you get to see them Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, Breakfast with Foo Fighters, the latest in a long series of great events where we have a big band, tiny little place. You get to help us interview. Your chance to win tickets to both coming up on K-Rock. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
Mean Girls Day?
Yeah.
Really? Not everything is a thing. That's what we need to remember.
Right, but the more insignificant and smaller the thing, the bigger the thing is to be.
In the words of Mean Girls,
right?
Stop trying to make Mean Girls Day a thing, Bean. It's not a thing.
Well, there are a lot of people who enjoy thinking about one of their favorite movies.
Are there?
Once a year, yeah.
A lot of people?
I didn't...
How many, President Trump?
I didn't invent it, you guys.
Millions and millions of people love Mean Girls Day, okay? They're all standing by the banks of a river, watching a bear eat a salmon, celebrating Mean Girls Day.
I didn't make it up, you guys.
Right.
Not my thing. I'm just
Well, you don't have to perpetuate it either.
This is an island surrounded by water, big water.
Big water.
Ocean water.
Ocean water. Okay.
Ocean water. You didn't make up the flu either, but you don't want to spread it, right?
President Trump has a little bit of your Philadelphia accent in that water.
It's an East Coast thing.
The water.
Adding an R to water.
Water.
Yeah. Let's say you come across a big pile of Mike Tyson's belongings. You want to get it back to Iron Mike, right?
I would think so, yeah.
That's what Richis Allen has said. He is trying to contact Mike Tyson because he said he found a bunch of Mike's former belongings at a thrift store in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Wow.
And he's reaching out to the champ to see if he'd like to have them returned. He said he's not trying to shake Mike down for cash. He said he came across his stuff. He started to recognize what it was. He got it, and he said all he wants to do is just return to the rightful owner because he's a fan.
How about that?
Apparently, amongst the items were legal documents from Mike's time in prison.
Wow.
a photo of Mike's late mother, Camille. Photos of Mike with stars like Eddie Murphy. And a collection of autographed porn movie covers. That's caught my attention. Why is Mike signing the covers of porn movies that I'm assuming he's not in?
Wait, is it possible, the way that sentence is written, that they were signed by performers in the movie and somehow given to Mike, maybe?
Ah, perhaps. Autographed pornography covers, it says here. I just assumed the only one worthy of signing anything would be Mike Tyson. It wouldn't dawn on me that...
He might be asking for autographs from the stars, maybe.
That the Brandy Starfish might, you know, be signing covers for him. But maybe, yeah, maybe went to the AVN Awards and got a bunch of autographs. Anyway, it's all being returned to Mike if he will contact Richis Allen. I'd be afraid. I'd, like, just leave it on his doorstep and run. I don't want to make the guy angry. Who knows? Maybe he doesn't want it back.
I got rid of that stuff on purpose. Now you've made, brought it back to me, all these bad memories.
And then he puts his fist through your skull. Who needs that? Who needs that headache?
How did it end up in North Carolina, too?
Right? Also, so many questions.
That is crazy.
We have to ask the thrift store police detective squad. My new film. I hope you'll all watch. Speaking of new films and TV shows, oh, it's going to be a good one. Amazon Prime is making a series from the book Good Omens by Terry Pratchett and Neil Gaiman.
Tell us about that, Ralph.
This is a great, great book. First of all, Neil Gaiman's a super talented writer. Terry Pratchett as well. It's about a battle amongst the angels. It's like archangels battling a demon. It's awesome. Gaiman will be writing this series. It'll be on Amazon in 2019. But let me tell you a little something about the cast. As Archangel Gabriel, John Hamm. Boom.
All right.
Another archangel, Michael Sheen. Boom.
All right.
Demon, David Tennant. Boom.
Wow, what all a cast.
Miranda Richardson, Michael McKean. Also in the cast for this show. Right? You're just watching based on that cast alone.
I mean,
that's amazing.
That's great news.
Just got an email from a listener, Dick. Wanted to let you know, Ralph, that Mean Girls is showing on MTV twice today in honor of Mean Girls Day. So if you want to get caught up in the...
Don't you mean a Dick listener?
Want to get caught up in the hoopla of the holidays?
There's no hoopla.
No there hoopla at all.
Nope.
No hoop, no la.
And get together with all your friends and enjoy a little Mean Girl.
You got one email. That's nothing.
That's people. Many thousands and millions of people.
No, my point wasn't that Dick wrote. My point was letting you know that MTV is in on the celebration.
Oh,
showing the movie twice.
Right.
It's sad news. Rock legend Tom Petty has passed away. This time, I mean it. Because yesterday there was some confusion. People were saying he was dead.
That
he wasn't
weird.
Quite dead yet. And see, in this rush now, in the TMZ world we live in, where everyone's just in a rush to be first versus being right, more and more of this kind of stuff happens, and it's BS. I felt so bad for his family and friends and everything when they had to take time out of their day to correct this BS, and they're trying to deal with the reality of what's happening with their loved one. Regardless, someone said he was dead yesterday after he had a massive cardiac arrest, but he was in fact still alive. And then by last night at 8:40 p.m., according to his longtime manager, he did indeed pass away.
So. CBS, who I think initially reported the death, said they got it from an LAPD spokesperson, but then the LAPD came out and said, "We don't know who that was that talked to you."
Yeah.
It wasn't official channels, so it was a mess. You're right, Ralph.
It was.
Very unfortunate.
Of course, no point in even trying to encapsulate his career. Obviously, decades and decades of smash hit music. I mean, you know a Tom Petty song if you just think about it, right?
Free Fallin'.
Yeah. Stop Dragging My Heart Around. Won't Back Down. All the stuff he did with the Traveling Wilburys. Just an enormously talented guy. And sad news. Sad news.
Very
sad. He passed away at the age of 66.
And by the way, so many of our listeners just saw him within the last couple of weeks. I think he played the Greek, played the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, he was out there doing tremendous shows. And you know,
here
I always
we go.
Say,
here we go.
Always,
Beans confused by heart attacks.
Don't start
guy,
that.
Here's a guy who doesn't understand why you aren't sick for 4 years before you have a heart attack.
Please don't start that.
How can you just be walking around one day and then the next day you're dead? How does that happen? Especially on Mean Girls Eve. I don't approve.
What I'm saying is there would have been no way to know that the man you were watching be so vibrant on stage would be gone in just a couple of weeks.
Of course there wouldn't.
Because that's not how it works. It
just makes it very sad, that's all.
You are adorable.
How can you just be walking around singing and dancing, and then the next day you're not?
It's odd that you're baffled by that.
I don't like
it.
Really
is. I don't like
no
it.
No one likes it, but it's odd that you're baffled by it.
Beanbag is the man who didn't understand death.
Your body's just laying there.
First of all, he loves death.
Beforehand, but the body was moving before, and it was doing things, and now the next day, it's just lying there at a table. It's not doing anything. I don't understand it. It was alive.
Now he's not.
How did that happen? How come he didn't know 3 weeks before he wasn't alive anymore, and then he wasn't going to be alive?
I don't approve.
Yeah. Nope.
Wish.
Gotta be
nope.
Over. This week.
Tuesday morning.
F this whole week.
Tuesday morning.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lindsay Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac. 68 years old today. Al Sharpton. Oh, you gotta love the Rev, right?
Sure.
He's the best.
Or not.
63. Smartest man in the world, Greg Proops. Very funny comedian. 58 years old. Tommy Lee is 55. Clive Owens, 53. Gwen Stefani celebrates her 48th birthday.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract. And you're still waiting for your hot track.
I don't think that's...
She's lost a step, right?
That's really Gwen's work. No. Lena Headley is 44 years old today. Nev Campbell, also 44. Sean William Scott is 41. Alicia Vikander celebrates her 29th birthday. And ASAP Rocky is 29.
Yeah, you know I'm out there.
Nope.
I'm trying to be, you know, all ASAP. You're being real mean to me, you know? I'm trying to start into things with the rapping, you know, and spitting mad rhymes. And then you come along and say, oh, you want me to rap? Want me to do the rap? I'll do the rap.
One of my favorites. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show his beat.
Just announced yesterday morning on this program, Breakfast with Foo Fighters. It's happening 1 week from now. So 7 days and 40 minutes from right now, you could be watching Foo Fighters with us in the HD radio sound space. We got tickets you can win coming up. Plus, Drew Doughty from the LA Kings all on the way from K-Rock.
Maybe a warning about tattoos. How about that? How about just a little warning?
All right.
I would say don't tattoo your eyeball.
I mean...
I feel like that's pretty good advice.
What, are you uptight?
Don't tattoo your eyeball. How crazy is that sounding? If you love tattoos, would
certainly
you ever
not.
Consider that?
Certainly not. Well, first of all, I would imagine the pain would be indescribable. Not that it's a day at the beach getting any tattoos,
right.
But in your eyeball?
Yeah.
You know what it's like just when you accidentally brush your finger against your eyeball. It hurts like hell.
Yeah. There's a guy named John Kelly who has tattooed every single inch of his body. Every place, including inside his nostrils, on his tongue, and his eyeball. And it's insane.
Does Mr. Kelly have a job?
Well, let's hear a little interview. It's kind of like a AMA, where he has a bunch of questions, so he's asking them himself, and then he answers them.
My name is Tat Boy Holden.
He did change his name, being to Tat Boy.
All right.
Tat Boy.
Ooh, I'm 48, and in 2 days, I am 49. Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty good math, first of all.
Words to describe getting inked? Content. I'm happy. I love ink. What can I say? Yeah. First tattoo was 1987. It was an eagle. When did I first want ink? When I was about 9 years old. And by the time I was 12, I was like, hell yeah, I really want tattoos.
Right. I really need tattoos. I mean, this guy is insane.
When did I decide to get fully covered? I made the decision about 1998. I thought, yeah, let's go all out. How much money spent on ink? I've really lost count. I used to have a little diary, write it all down, how much and everything. But, some of my bits of my body have been tattooed like 3 times over.
Let me know if you want to stop at any point.
So, in other words, he's tattooed, every square inch of his body is tattooed, so he can't go out and get a new tattoo unless he puts something on top of a previous tattoo.
Yes.
He's addicted.
Yes, exactly. His entire head, top, back, everywhere. There's nothing that's not tattooed.
You know, I've got 3 layers of ink on my face, for example, but there's other bits that have got 3 layers as well.
So he's got 3 layers on his face. Mm. So he's probably out of places to 3-layer it now.
Yes.
He's going with his face. That's a lot of ink.
When did I change my name officially to Tat Boy Holden? 2014, but I wanted to do it way earlier than that, but I ended up doing it then. Yeah, around my eyes was pretty painful, and my nose was gnarly. Lips was like razor blades. Toes hurt, and yeah, getting your tattoos hurts, obviously.
Yeah, that
obviously.
Yeah. I have my friends and family told me to slow down. Yeah, they did, but they sort of got used to it, and I don't know. I sort of liked it in the end. Mm-hmm. Do you regret any of your tattoos? I love them all.
If I could just butt in here, you should regret some of them.
Does anyone ask him how it's going in the dating department?
No one does.
I love them all. Like, I love them all. Yeah.
So that answers your question about dating.
Do I want to get any removed? Not really. I've got tattoos to get tattooed, not to get them removed. I don't see the point. When am I planning to stop? I don't want to stop. Right. I'll just keep going. Mm-hmm. And when will I be finished? Well, it's an ongoing project. So, yeah, that's it.
And that's it.
Eventually, it's just going to be like he's painted black, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
He's just going to get all the spaces in between the tattoos tattooed. And then he's done.
I'll post a picture of this guy and also this woman that I'm about to tell you about on my Twitter at The Kevin Ryder. A Canadian woman posted graphic images of her eye. She got her eye tattooed, leaking purple dye, after she says a risky tattoo on her eyeball may leave her partially blind.
Oh, no.
Her name is Kat Gallagher, a 24-year-old body modification enthusiast, it says.
We got a young man for her.
No kidding. After getting scleral tattoo is what they call it. It consists of injecting ink into the white part of the eyeball.
So you've got two people in the news right now.
Yes.
Both of whom had their eyeballs tattooed.
Yes.
I mean, what are the chances?
That's something, right?
Yes.
Gallagher, who has a forked tongue, piercings and tattoos, has undergone painful procedures before. But she wrote on Facebook that the tattoo on her eye was the worst, and then the ink started leaking from her eye. Hmm. She says that she may lose her eyesight. It may never come back.
Oh, no.
And she goes on and on talking about how incredibly painful it was, which I believe anyone could have predicted, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said that they went way too deep into her eye. They put too much ink there, so it's blurry and she sees double. They're asking if she can have it laser removed like normal things, and doctors are saying, no, it's your eyeball. There's no possible way we're going to laser your eyeball to get a tattoo off. So she's stuck with it, and she's thinking about suing.
So is your advice today to not get your eyeballs tattooed?
Is
that where we're coming down here?
Tattoo everywhere else.
Uh-huh.
And call me uptight, but leave the eyeball alone. Eyeballs.
By the way, speaking of Imagine Dragons, you know they just played Hollywood Bowl over the weekend. They're on this tour right now. Did you see the video of them? They went by a children's hospital in Arizona and jammed with the kids.
Oh, I didn't see that.
With the kids in the hospital. Oh, such sweet boys.
Whoops.
Is that Omar?
Omar.
Hey, Omar. Omar.
Pipe down, Omar.
Drop the S-bomb, right?
He did. Right?
He really did. What's your problem, Omar? He was talking about something good.
They're such sweet boys, I think is what got him.
Is there anything wrong with calling them sweet boys?
Not if you're an 80-year-old woman on a porch and you're crocheting a tea cozy, no. But for a grown-ass man, you sound like a wiener.
I was just very, very impressed with them and the lovely
boys.
Gesture.
Yeah, have a cookie. Grandma made them for you. Sweet boys.
This sounds like a lead into a feature that we do not need today.
We need it.
We do.
Look, all of us try to be entertaining on Twitter.
Not all of us.
All of us except for one.
Not all of us.
Now, sometimes we try and miss. Okay, that happens. It happens to all of us. But some of us are pretty accurate in about 99% of them being annoying. And that's why we do
that tweet.
I don't think annoying is a fair characterization, by the way.
Let's listen.
Perhaps. How about awful? Is awful a
awful,
fair
sure.
characterization? Let's find out.
Yep.
I'm eating candy corn and drinking chocolate milk right now. And finally, my childhood vision of being an adult has been realized.
That's that tweet.
Bean.
Thoughts? I mean, look, I was bragging, okay? It was a great
morning. Not a brag. You're just eating candy and drinking chocolate milk.
It just isn't a brag.
No one needs to know that you're eating that and drinking that.
It was so much fun.
But it's meaningless to everyone.
Who cares how much fun you're having drinking chocolate milk?
I think people want to see me happy.
Tom Tagney won't see this because he's not...
What? He's starting out by admitting whoever he's tweeting to it will never read it? Is that what's happening?
I'm trying to pay a compliment to someone.
But he's
not on Twitter.
Okay, well then don't do it.
But I'm hoping the
find him on Facebook or Instagram, anywhere else.
I'm hoping the word will
send
get back.
Send him a letter.
Send him a letter. Right.
Skywriting.
Right.
Anything. Here we go. Okay, one more time. Tom Tagney won't see this because he's not on Twitter. But he's Kyra Radio's secret weapon. Hope I'm half as good on the radio at his age.
He's a very talented broadcaster, and I just wanted to compliment him.
You can't. No, you didn't want to compliment him because you know he can't read your compliment.
But other people at his radio station will see it, though, and hopefully spread the word.
Email them.
Call the request line.
That would have been another way to go.
How many people do you think that follow you on Twitter know of or care about him?
Or Cairo Radio.
The people who work at Cairo Radio that I'm friends with.
Okay, so
call your friends.
So that's like 5 or 6 of your followers?
Perhaps, yes.
Okay, that's
what are you doing to the rest of the people?
Right. Because there's nothing wrong with just pointing out that there is excellence in the world, particularly in broadcasting, when there's so little of it. You know? That's all.
Call them up.
Tweet.
That's not what Twitter's for.
I mean, I see your point.
I don't think you do. I just found out my wife has a Spider-Man toothbrush. It even sticks to the wall.
Now, that was a very popular tweet, by the way.
I bet it was.
A lot of people either want to get their own Spider-Man toothbrush or had questions about it or had the same
Spider-Man toothbrush. How many are a lot of people, President Trump?
I don't know exactly.
What did Tom Tagney think about it?
Exactly.
That's that tweet.
Many passengers just laughed way harder than I expected at the pilot welcoming us to Lost Wages. I need to put that one back in the rotation. You don't have a rotation, okay?
Right.
There's no rotation. There's no...
There certainly shouldn't be if you don't have one yet.
Of funny things.
That's not fun.
Guaranteed home runs.
Nope.
Oh, if you'd have heard this crowd, though, man. They just went crazy for Lost Wages.
Nothing says great Friday night radio listening like this 7-minute block of commercials I'm suffering through in an Uber. God, who gives an F?
Who cares?
That's your thing.
You're the only person on the planet that has experienced that or was experiencing that at the time. Why would you? Everything doesn't have to be a tweet. Everything doesn't have to be a tweet.
Everything doesn't. I agree. Right, okay. I think that I don't regret that one. But
what?
Trouble locating a particular grave in this muddy Louisiana cemetery. When I'm running things, I'll make people get buried alphabetically.
Come on. We've all been there.
No, we haven't.
You go to a cemetery to see a specific grave, and then you just wander around acres and acres of tombstones trying to find it. It needs to be better organized.
Whose grave are you trying to find?
I don't remember.
Whose?
What? His.
I wish.
I don't remember who it was that time, but it's happened on more than one occasion.
Sure.
That's that
tweet.
My putting away a bag of Halloween candy corn so I can have some in the summer game is strong. There's no putting candy away game. You put some candy away and then you ate it later. That's what you're announcing to the world.
Right.
You know the thing I didn't eat before? I am eating it now, months later.
But you're acting like it's something that everyone does and not everyone is as good at it as you are.
Right?
You know what I'm saying?
Like him and talking.
I'm saying that there's a bunch of people doing it, but you're the best. That's not a thing.
Because not everyone has the foresight at Halloween time to buy candy corn and save it and break it out in July.
just accidentally stepped into the doorway of an Abercrombie store at the mall and was immediately tackled by the store's ugly police.
I mean, that's...
Because there's a lot of attractive people. The Abercrombie Fitch models are very attractive.
At least that's almost... Mm-hmm. At least you can recognize that as a joke, as a setup and a punchline.
Mm-hmm.
But not good.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
It's got the structure of a joke.
Correct, yes.
With now 99% less humor.
Yes. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Cal Jam 17 and Breakfast with Foo Fighters tickets. You win them both. And we'll tell you how in 5 minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. 5 minutes! First, Rob's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday. Good morning, sir.
In our recent thanks for that tweet Bean segment, we found out Bean has a rotation.
Yeah.
Of jokes. He wants to put lost wages into his rotation of surefire home run jokes.
Right.
Well, it went over so well on the plane I was on when the pilot said it.
So listener Edwin wrote in. He said, Bean is working on his comedy? Louis C.K., watch out. That's his segment. He said, Bean wants to put lost wages in rotation. One can only guess what other gems he has in his rotation.
That's
now.
That's a great question.
Perhaps there's, hey, how about those TV dinners? Or... working hard or hardly working? Hey, how about those women drivers, huh? I'd love to hear Bean's stand-up comedy. Well, I think we have some audio we can play tomorrow, maybe.
Oh, Bean's that's very exciting. Yeah.
Remember when Bean did that open mic night?
Sure.
I think we have some of his hilarious...
Yeah, the K-Rock microphones were there, it sounds like.
How about that? Edwin closes by saying, Bean is Bob Hope with dementia.
It's not enough to be a dead guy. I have to be a dead guy with mental illness problems?
Yes, please.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the entertainment news, shall we? Sad news. Tom Petty has passed away. And this time, the story's real. Yesterday afternoon, the news broke that he had passed away when, in fact, he was still fighting for his life in the hospital. But now we found out last night around 8:40 p.m., he did pass away, and just 66 years old. Hmm. It was sudden cardiac arrest, happened at his home in Malibu early in the morning, and he was rushed to UCLA Medical Center but could not be revived. So, sad news of a super talented guy, great artist, so many hits. American Girl, I just posted that on Twitter, is one of my favorite all-time songs to this day. I just think it's a great song, great rock song. And, of course, he worked with the Traveling Wilburys, that super group made up of George Harrison and himself and Bob Dylan, Roy Orbison, Jeff Lynne. And so many solo hits as well. So he would be missed, but he left a lot of work behind that we can
sure
all enjoy
did.
For many, many years.
Now, Kevin, I know you don't traditionally like oldies, but Tom Petty strikes me as the kind of guy you might even listen to if he came on the radio.
Yeah, some of his songs.
I don't know a lot of them, but some of them, yeah.
Do you have a favorite?
Free Fallin'.
Free
Fallin'. Yeah.
That's probably the biggest.
I really
biggest
like that
hit,
one.
I think.
Yeah.
American Girl is one of my favorites. Don't Do Me Like That.
Great oh, that wasn't
song.
Bad, yeah.
That's a great tune.
Refugee.
Great
song.
Don't have feel like a refugee.
Yeah, I don't need that one, but
it's a good one.
I'm good with the other ones.
Speaking of music, Tom York of Radiohead is re-releasing his 2014 solo album, Tomorrow's Modern Boxes. Here's why.
What's that? Yeah, tell me.
It was originally only available through BitTorrent.
Okay.
Not the best, perhaps, distribution system for your music. So now it's going to be shared on a standard digital download, CD, and vinyl offerings. All this is going to happen on December 8th. Tom is also doing a few solo concerts to promote the album. And as of right now, there's only 3 dates in this mini tour. The Houston show, December 17th, Oakland, California, December 14th, and here in Los Angeles on the 12th of December.
Hmm.
So if you're a Radiohead completist, you're going to want to pick up that album from Tom York if you don't already have it, and you can see him performing solo, a rare solo show with Tom York here in December. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alicia Vikander is 29 years old today. Sean William Scott turns 41. Nev Campbell's 44, as is Lena Headey. Gwen Stefani's 48. Clive Owen's 53 years old today. Tommy Lee is 55. Comedian Greg Proops is 58. Lindsey Buckingham of Fleetwood Mac is 68 years old today. And rapper A$AP Rocky is 29.
Yeah, I'm over here trying to rap, you know. You come at me and say, hey, you know what I'm rapping? You know what you're doing? I know what I'm doing. I'm rapping ASAP. All right?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, thank you, Ralph. 1 week from this moment, we will be filed into the HG Radio Sound Space to enjoy our breakfast with Foo Fighters. We would like you to be there, and we'd also like to give you tickets to see the band this weekend at the Glen Helen Regional Park for Cal Jam 17. All you have to do is give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. You are going to have to earn them, though. We will be playing a game, but if you're a Foo Fighters fan, you know them, you love them, you know their music, call now. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. Not going to lie, it's one of the best lineups of any concert in Southern California all year long. Talking about Cal Jam 17 this Saturday at the Glen Helen Regional Park. Listen to this, you guys. Royal Blood is going to be there.
Right?
Right?
Right.
Liam Gallagher, Cage the Elephant, Queens of the Mother Effin' Stone Age, and Foo Fighters. That's Saturday. You win tickets to that, and you get to be here for our up-close and personal breakfast with Foo Fighters Tuesday morning right down the hall here at K-Rock at the HD Radio Sound Space. We're giving away tickets to both at 1-800-520-1067 with the Wheel of Celebrities.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. The Wheel of Celebrities. It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celebrities.
Wheel of Celebrities, please.
What did he say?
Wheel O, celebrities.
Oh, sorry.
For God's sakes.
Get it right?
Okay. I apologize. Yeah.
It's named for a reason.
So, Ralph, you're in the ante room next to the studio here. And who's in there with you?
In the what?
You're in the ante room.
What's the ante room?
Are you unfamiliar with that word, ante?
Yeah.
Adjacent room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Tons of celebrities are just lining up in the hallway waiting to come into the ante room to do their, their lyrics from a Foo Fighters song. And then the caller will have to identify what Foo Fighters song that particular celebrity is reciting the lyrics from, where within as well, too.
All right. Good. Let's start with David in Norwalk. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You ready for to spin the wheel?
Ready
for to spin the wheel?
I'm ready now.
Good luck.
Such a good day.
Shut up, Omar. And you get Al Pacino.
Al, you're up.
How about that, Al Pacino?
All right.
Let's do this. Well, I talked about it. Carried on. Reasons only knew. But it's you I fell into. Ooh-ah.
Everything but ooh-ah. Name that one, David.
Oh, my God. Monkey Wrench?
Sorry, that's Big Me.
When I talk about it, carry.
Very faithful version Al Pacino did. I got to be honest. That was pretty good.
The lyrics are different. Right. The song is that I got written here. Who you got writing your lyrics? Who's that guy?
That's the King of Mexico.
They'll talk about it and carries on. Here it says talked and carried. Different. I feel bad.
All right, sorry, Al.
Dan, I'm leaving. Don't go.
What if it lands on you again, though?
I don't care.
All right. Dan in Burbank. Hi.
Burn this place down with a flamethrower. Okay.
Somebody escort Mr. Pacino out.
All right, are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's see who's going to read your lyrics. And it is Alex Jones, everybody. Alex Jones.
Wow. Infowars.com. Hey, Mr. Jones.
How are you? You're lucky to have me here today because I am so busy dealing with the nanobots that are invading our bodies through fruits that turn our lungs into cardboard.
Well, I wish we had time to hear all about that, but instead, Dan wants you to recite some Foo Fighters lyrics, if you would, please, Alex.
Now I'm looking to the sky to save me, looking for a sign of life, looking for something to help me burn out bright.
Dan?
I know it.
Yes, you do.
Everlong.
I'm sorry, that's Learn to Fly.
They don't want you to win because they know that you know the truth. They're trying to set you up.
He just had it wrong.
It's a conspiracy.
He didn't have the right answer, Alex. I'm sorry. That wasn't it. Thank you for stopping by, though.
Deep state right there.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Alfredo in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hey, good morning.
Are you ready?
Oh, yeah. Let's do this.
And the person reading your lyrics is Taylor Swift.
I think we got her on the phone.
Oh, geez.
Get her on the phone, please.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God, I can't believe you're going to me!
I mean, you do...
Oh, it's a surprise!
You knew it was a setup, though. I mean,
it is a setup, I know. It's a surprise. The wheel came on me.
It's not a surprise.
Okay.
All right, Taylor, I don't know how much you know about Foo Fighters, but we're going to ask you to do some lyrics from one of their popular songs, and Alfredo's going to tell us what song it is, okay?
Will I find a believer? Another one who believes, another one to deceive. Over and over... Down on my knees.
Alfredo, what's the Foo song, please?
What the hell? Come on, Taylor Swift. Get it together.
You get it together.
Is that walk?
It is not.
How about if you get it together? It's all my life. Come on. What's happening?
I don't know, but we're 0-3. Sorry, Taylor. Bye, Taylor.
Oh, man.
She's gone. She hung up.
All right.
By the way, we have...
three pair.
Yeah. Okay.
I know we want to give them away. It's all not right. that we don't.
Let's go to Alex. Good morning, Alex.
Morning.
And Alyssa Viejo. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right. Person reading your lyrics will be the boss, Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce, you're up.
Oh, this is great.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're very
Hi,
good.
Bruce Springsteen.
You?
Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm doing good.
Well,
doing
we need good. To do some lyrics from your friend Dave Grohl, if you don't mind.
Oh, love Dave's work. Here you go. Are you gone and into someone new? I needed somewhere to hang my head without your noose. You gave me something that I didn't have.
All right. Very touching. Alex?
Alfredo?
Oh, damn.
That's Alex. Sorry. Alex? I don't know why Alfredo's still on hold, by the way. He already lost. But I
tried to hang up on him.
You know what? I'm gonna go find Alfredo. Okay. And
no, don't.
I'm going to take a length of rope.
No, don't do that.
Slip it around his head.
Don't do that.
The noose in this lyyric just gave me an idea.
Don't kill anyone else, maybe boss. Come on.
Find just a piece of garden hose or something.
All right. Alex, what's the song that Bruce did for you there?
Shoot. Is that My Hero?
No, it sure isn't.
What is happening?
It's crazy. Are you gone and on
to someone new? That is Best of You is the name of that song. I guess I was hoping we'd have some people in the audience for the Breakfast with Foo Fighters Tuesday, but apparently we won't.
It seems odd. All right, let's go to Joshua in Corona. Hi, Joshua.
Hello.
All right, here you go. No one's gotten it right yet. We're all hoping for you. Here we go.
Thank you.
And it's Michael Jackson in Heaven. How about that?
Let's... Wow, he's already on the line. This is service here. Hey, Mike, how are you?
It's in heaven. I can do whatever I want.
I guess so, yeah. Hey, you follow the Foo Fighters music up there in heaven? You familiar with Dave Grohl and company?
Of course. I love the Foo Fighters.
Okay, perfect. Well, we need you to do some lyrics here so Joshua can win some tickets for the breakfast on Tuesday.
Okay. And I wonder, when I sing along with you, if everything could ever feel this real forever. Hey, shut up. Stop talking.
Don't interrupt dead people,
Joshua. I hate live people. Live people are so rude.
So sorry, Michael.
You should be sorry.
All right.
If I'm still talking.
Okay.
Sorry.
If anything could...
Okay, sorry.
Don't laugh. It's a serious lyric.
Okay, sorry.
If anything could ever be this good again.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Bye, Michael.
Bye.
Joshua?
Everlong.
All right. Maybe
one guy's
going to
be there.
I mean, I feel like we're in sudden death, right? So the next two get them, they're in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You get it, you're in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Laura in West Covina. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Let's see who's going to read the lyrics.
We've had some contestants that have not been on fire so far, Laura, so good luck to you.
And it is Justin Bieber.
Oh, the B.
Justin Bieber.
Hey, Justin.
Hey.
You mind doing some Foo Fighters lyrics for us?
A lot of questions, bro.
No, I just thought that maybe you can help us out with the game here. We're trying to give away some tickets.
Okay. Here's the lyric.
Okay.
Despacito.
Nope.
I like to eat a lot of burrito.
Nope.
And I get a bag of burrito. What?
This is Foo Fighters. You got to do a Foo Fighters song.
Oh, okay. In time, or so I'm told, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well. The page is out of print. We are not permanent. We're temporary. Temporary, eh? Oh, my God. I'm breaking out.
Laura.
The Pretendo?
Yes!
Yeah, close enough.
Wow.
I mean, really.
That was a pull out of her butt.
She said the Pretender, though. She got it right, right?
She said something like that.
The Pretendle, the Pretenders, the Pretenderama, I mean, something like
considering
that.
Considering I'm one of the hosts, she wins.
All right. Joshua and Laura are in. Let's do one more, shall we?
All right. Kristen in Huntington Beach. Hi.
Hi.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Let's see who's going to read your lyrics. And you get Jack Nicholson.
Ooh,
how about that?
Well, wow. It's about goddamn time.
Hey, Jack, sorry to keep
you standing here doing nothing except holding Pacino's head.
We thought you were retired. I wasn't sure if you'd be here today.
Well, I'll do anything for the Foo Fighters.
Oh.
I'm a huge fan.
All right.
Well, we appreciate that. All right, let's do some lyrics. Let's see if Kristen can get the song.
Oh, my dear, heaven is a big bang now.
Gotta get to sleep somehow. Banging on the ceiling. Banging on the ceiling. Keep it down.
All right.
The sky is a neighborhood.
Yes, yeah!
That's an excitable broad.
Congratulations, Kristen.
I'm so excited.
You get to go both to Cal Jam and to the Breakfast with the Foos.
I'm so happy. It's my birthday tomorrow.
Perfect. Congratulations.
I love you.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jack. We appreciate your help.
Happy birthday, loud broad.
It's the Wheel of Celebrities. Wheel of Celeb.
Just after 8, Drew Doughty from the LA Kings will join us in studio.
That's going to be fun. Is Chip going to be on our best behavior while our guest is here?
We're going to send her out for food.
Oh, good idea.
That's a great idea. Get the Ducks fans out of the room.
Right?
Yesterday, Ralph came on the show first thing yesterday and started teasing us with a story about how he was accidentally a dick to a celebrity.
Yeah.
And he eventually did tell us the story, but it was much later in the show. And a lot of people listening early contacted us after, especially it didn't end up on the podcast, and said, hey, we never heard Ralph's story. What happened?
Yeah. The good news was we teased it in the podcast and then never actually put the story in the podcast.
Like we do.
That's how we keep people guessing, man.
That's right.
Don't give them what they want. Give them what they need.
So after Ralph's story, we are going to open the phones for your interactions with celebrities if you are a dick to them accidentally.
Inadvertent assholery, I like to refer to it as.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
Here's what happened. I was coming home from the weekend. I had performed Hollywood Babylon at the Hard Rock Live in Orlando, Florida. Kevin Smith and I did our show there, and I was coming home Sunday, flying back, and I had to put my luggage up. Sometimes when you're flying, you have to put your carry-on just wherever you can find an open space in the overhead compartment, and mine was down away from my seat. The only place it was available for me to put my bag in. So I put it in there, and I realized once the plane landed, if I didn't want to stand and wait for half an hour for everyone to file past me in the line, I'm going to have to hop up when that bell goes off and I can unbuckle my seatbelt and go over, grab my bag, and then get back to my seat to wait in line for me to get out off the plane. So I was already concerned. I'm not a good traveler. I get very flustered when I travel, and I was already concerned. And I jumped up when the bell rang, and I got to the compartment, and I got my bag out. But I also had a second bag with a long strap and another piece of art that I was carrying under one arm, and it was very awkward. And I realized that the bag was over my shoulder with the strap. I had swung while I was grabbing the other bag and hit something. And I assumed I had hit an armrest or a headrest of the chair of the guy who was sitting under that overhead compartment. And so I kind of gather my stuff, and I'm backing away back towards my seat down the aisle, and I look to the guy who was underneath the overhead compartment that I had just been getting my stuff out of. And he's sort of looking at his seatmate, the guy next to him, and pointing at me and sort of nodding his head toward me like what a douchebag. And then it dawned on me, I think I struck this guy in the head.
Not a chair?
With my carry-on that was dangling from the strap on my shoulder. It was not a chair at all. I think, I'm pretty sure now, it was this guy's head or face. And I said, oh, it's bad enough that I'm like the guy who's trying to get off the plane earlier with whatever they think I'm doing. And then I do this to this poor bastard. And then the guy looks at me, and I look at him, and I go, oh, crap, it's also Tim Tebow. Former NFL quarterback, current Major League Baseball wannabe Tim Tebow.
How did he react when you apologized?
Well, here's the thing. I was already trying to process what had happened.
Uh-huh.
And then when I saw it was somebody famous, I was sort of taken aback and speechless because of that.
Right, but then later when you apologized.
Well, I never had a chance to apologize because I had gotten back to my seat by that point and people were filing out of the plane, including him. And I said, I guess I could run him down in the airport or something, but then it's just making things worse. So I decided I'm just going to have to eat it and just let it go, and I'm just going to have to be a dick who doesn't apologize. Although I tweeted one out yesterday. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
and a bunch of listeners were saying, hey, don't feel bad about that. It's Tim Tebow. So
all Tebow hate. Inexplicable Tebow hate.
That was strange.
People were happy I pegged him in the head with a carry-on piece of luggage.
Which is weird because he seems like the nicest guy in the world, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And I felt truly, truly bad about it. But what compounded it, and I really think if I hadn't been taken aback by the fact that you don't expect to see a famous face in most situations, let alone when you do something like that. Mm-hmm. I was rendered speechless by the fact that I had to process the fact that I had done this and then the fact that it was somebody famous on top of it. So I was rattled to the point of rudeness.
But had you apologized?
Jesus.
Right. That's what I'm thinking.
So
of all people to do something to, this is the guy who's going to forgive you, right? He forgives everybody. It's kind of like it's so. Part yeah. of his nature. He's, you know, he's, you know, take a knee and put, you know, the head and the praying and then all that stuff.
So we're not looking for you or a dick on purpose, right? We're just looking for accidental a-holery, I think is what you said,
like you
right?
did something douchebaggy, and then you say, oh my God, I just did something douchebaggy to somebody who's famous to make things worse.
All right. I can't imagine what kind of stories we might have, but maybe Jody in West Hills might get us started here at 1-800-520-1067.
Hey, Jody.
Hey, good morning. Long-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Hey, I was on the plane going to the Super Bowl in New York a few years back, and there was a bunch of celebrities in first class. And as I was getting on, you know, like Ralph said, he put his bag up. Well, I turned around and elbowed Robert De Niro right in the face.
Oh, no. Right with your elbow. Face. Oh, no.
With my elbow.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Right?
That's what he said about you.
You know, like I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And he just glared at me.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What did you say right after that happened, Jody?
I said, I'm sorry.
You're
I'm sorry.
Sorry. I see.
Oh, so you apologized to the person you manhandled
on the plane. He was getting on the plane. It's very different.
Hold on. So he glared at me, and, like, he didn't say anything like, oh, it's okay. So I'm like, well, you ain't got to be a dick about it.
Yeah, now you're mad at him. Good. I like it.
Good story.
Oh, you could have got whacked.
Yeah, you definitely could. It's a miracle you're alive to make this phone call today, Joe.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Right?
Thank you for the call. Thank you for being a
little bit. 22 in the back of the head. Boom. A little bit. To find you in cement.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Well, it looks like the phones are blowing up, you guys. A lot of people, a lot of accidental dickery going on to celebrities. You didn't mean to be, but you were a dick to a celebrity. That's the topic. Texts and calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to David real quick ahead of the revivalists here on K-Rock. He's in Ontario.
Hey, David.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener. First-time caller, guys.
Thanks very much.
Hey, well, this happened about maybe 17 years ago. You see, I'm in construction, okay? And this was the end of the day. We're out there in Pacific Palisades. And we were picking up all our road construction and everything. And it was in a residential area. It was a small lane. And we were letting traffic kind of go by, and then we had to stop just so we could get our backhoes up on the trailer and everything. And this one black SUV showed up and just stopped right in the middle of everything. And we're like trying to get him out of here, and he didn't want to go. So I remember me yelling at him to get going. And then all of a sudden he just stopped and rolled down his window, and he's looking at me and just smiling. I'm like, oh man, I just yelled at him, hey, it's Batman. It was Michael Keaton, right?
So, Michael Keaton.
Yeah, so I'm like, what's going on? And I go, he says, it's all right. I go, man, you got traffic bunched up right now. You got to get going, dude. And he goes, well, I need to see something right here at these houses. And I go, well, go ahead, move up on the other end of the trailer. But you know what? You got to get going, man. You know, I'm going to get yelled at by my boss. So he goes up over there, and he starts parks his truck and or his SUV comes out. And I go, I walk over, and I'm kind of excited. I was like, oh, man, I just yelled at freaking Michael Keaton. So I go tell the guys, and I go, hey, man. They go, you know who that is? And I go, who? And I go, Michael Keaton. They're like, who's Michael Keaton?
What?
And I'm like, well, some of the guys, you know, they're immigrants and stuff like that from Mexico. And they
all
were
right.
Like,
I think we're getting off topic here, but glad that you called,
what
David.
What country were they from?
No, I don't think we don't need any more details.
Oh, we don't.
The point is, he yelled at Batman. We'll take some more calls coming up right after this on K-Rock. Drew Doughty from the Los Angeles Kings just after 8 this morning, and one of our favorite guests, author Brad Meltzer, next hour as well. First, though, Ralph accidentally hit Tim Tebow in the head with his luggage on a flight over
He's
the weekend.
He's saying accidentally.
Well, I believe him. That's a reasonable story. So we're taking your calls right now, and you were accidentally a dick to a celebrity. It looks like a lot of our listeners have been in that position. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with let's start with Camellia real quick, line 5. I probably said her name wrong, Manhattan Beach.
Hey, Camellia.
You said it right.
Okay.
Oh, right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What happened?
Okay, so I was in the elevator at work. I work in West Hollywood. And a man walks in, and he says, hi, how are you? And I just kind of glance over at him. And I was like, oh, my gosh, you're Dennis Hoffman. I love your work. He looks at me, and he's just like, it's Dustin, but thank you.
You must have felt so bad because you were trying to give him a compliment.
Yes, I did.
I love your work so much, Dennis.
I was at a loss for words. Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
That is hilarious. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it, Camellia. Let's go to Sherman Oaks, line 2, please. This is going to be Jeff on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey there.
Inadvertent assholery.
Yeah, so really I was just doing my job. I used to work at a certain movie theater that has a policy that forbids late seating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was working at the box office one day, and a good-looking guy, well-dressed, a bit of an Irish accent, shows up in my line, and he's trying to buy tickets for a movie that's already started. So I tell him that I can't do that. And he was very, very nice about it. He smiled. He was very insistent. And after hassling him for a couple of minutes about this and causing him to miss even more of the movie, I finally decided, all right, I'll figure out and I'll get him into the movie. And when he walks away with his tickets and heads into his movie, the person next to me at box office turns to me and asks, so how was Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell.
Yep, very nice guy.
Was he going to see one of his movies, by the way?
No, he wasn't. He did say that he knew some people that worked on the movie, and then I was starting to think, oh, is this someone that I'm not recognizing, you know? It was actually 2012 he was going to see.
Wow, all right.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Is this possible we have two different Shaquille O'Neal stories? Does it look like that to you?
It does look like that, yeah.
All right, let's try Ashley and Tustin. Let's get her up first, line 4.
Hey, Ashley.
Hey, guys. How are you? Good morning.
Good, thank you. Inadvertent assholery.
Yes. Actually, both ways, in all honesty. 1989, K-Rock, Weenie Rose, that was 15, first concert ever, super stoked. 311 brings out Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal, right, came out with 311.
I was sitting in orchestra, fourth row, he's down there doing his thing, and falls on top of me, literally, this huge human just falls on top of me.
Right.
And I have to, like, start stalking him, kicking him, do whatever I can to get him off, because he's huge.
Yeah, of course.
And eventually he gets off me after he pretty much thrusts his huge fist into my chest.
No.
And there I go. I'm just sitting there like, okay, Shaq's on me. That's kind of cool, but now I'm in a little bit of pain. good old security came down. He's like, are you okay? You know, the whole thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. Just didn't really take a chance to leave.
Okay, we can't make out what you're saying anymore. Unfortunately, your phone's gone all wonky, but thank you for the call. I appreciate that. You know, you can't blame really Ashley for that. If somebody falls
in her lap, yeah.
Yeah, falls on top of you, I get kind of pushing them away, right? All right, we got time for a couple more real quick. Why don't we try Mike Isale, line 8, please?
All right. Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, party people.
Good morning, Mike.
so quick story. My roommate at the time booked a role in a cage fighting film, huge monster of a beast guy. I'm running late for an audition. Says, hey, you need to drop my wardrobe off set. I go to the address. I'm looking for him, asking everybody, yo, where's my roommate? Have you seen Mariano? I don't know. An old guy in the corner says, excuse me, sir, can I help you? Nice little British accent. I go, yeah, I'm looking for a dude named Mariano, cage fighter. I don't know. How can you miss him? The dude's like 6'3", 250 pounds, and I'm getting aggravated because nobody has the answer. And mid-rant, I realize, it's Sir Anthony Hopkins. I'm over here yelling at Corey. And I look around and go, I think I'll just find him and just got the hell off the wrong set.
You're on the wrong set entirely.
Don't yell at Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Right?
Come on.
That's pretty good advice. Thank you,
Mike,
for the call.
Shall we take it around full circle? We started with Ralph being addicted to a celebrity. Let's end with Alex. She's on line 7, Covina.
Hey, Alex.
Hey.
Inadvertent assholery. What happened?
Long time listener. We love you so much.
Thank you, Alex.
I was a jerk to Ralph.
You were a jerk to Ralph Garman.
Oh, okay.
Wow, all right.
Like I said, full circle. What happened?
First of all, Ralph, love you. But for some reason, I was a real jerk to you at April Foolishness a couple of years ago. Well, I feel like I was a jerk because I was a little... inebriated.
Sure.
Just like now.
I saw you walking across the hall, and for some reason I just yelled, "Wow!" And I ran across, drunk as hell, and proceeded to start touching your face for some reason. And my sober friend next to me was like, you need to stop touching him.
I don't know that anyone wants their face touched by strangers.
But I was like coveting his face for some reason, and I just have a vague memory of it. My friend was like, you were so inappropriate with him. So, I'm sorry, Ralph.
Well, he wouldn't come in when he saw you were on the phone, Alex, but we accept the apology on his behalf. Thank you for calling. She said she just came up to you and just started rubbing your whole face, Ralph.
Yeah,
remember that at April 4th?
I think I would remember that.
Well, if
maybe you had a few as well.
Yeah, look, it's April Foolishness. I start drinking around 4 in the afternoon, so I was probably my face was numb probably when she was touching it.
It's all good.
Yeah, yeah, no hard feelings.
That's great. So she probably feels a lot better about it now, knowing that it didn't leave a scar.
No,
like
not
that.
At all.
Hey, asshole.
We're going to talk the NHL 2017-2018 season with Drew Doughty from the Los Angeles Kings coming up just after the top of the hour. That should be a lot of fun. First, Ralph here is with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
I wonder who the Kings play in the first game of the season.
Oh, they play the Flyers.
Oh, oh, oh.
Thursday night, opening night. Very excited.
Are Batman and Catwoman getting married? Looks that way. Pretty, pretty good. Pretty good.
And is that something that's...
It's been brewing for a long time.
Has it, yeah?
Long time, Kevin. You know that sexual tension between Batman and Catwoman?
Sure.
You don't know.
You just said I knew.
Apparently you don't know. It's happening in Batman number 32, which went on sale today. Oh, go on sale tomorrow. What's today, Tuesday? Tomorrow.
Yes, tomorrow.
New comic book day is Wednesday. Tomorrow. Selina Kyle says yes to Bruce Wayne's marriage proposal. How about that? Tying the knot, those two. You know, of course, on Earth 2, that's already happened.
Right.
Batman and Catwoman are already married on Earth 2.
Yeah,
and their daughter is, Kevin?
Foil Girl.
Foil Girl.
Yes. It is Foil Girl. That's correct, isn't it, Ralph?
No, it's not correct. The Huntress. The Huntress.
Sure.
The
also known as. Sure.
Nope. She's just known as the Huntress.
Agree to disagree.
I've heard both. No, I've heard both as well.
Not
right?
Both.
Thank
it's
you,
just
Bean.
One. Earth 2 Huntress is the daughter of Selina Kyle and Bruce Wayne.
Forgive me if this is a dumb question.
Mm.
But I don't have my
biting
mythology
my lip
straight.
Already. Biting my lip.
Yep.
Whatever Batman universe we're discussing here, does Catwoman know Batman's secret identity, or will that be a surprise on her wedding night?
Yes, yes, Bean. She said yes to someone in a mask who just asked her to marry him.
I just want to make sure. So she's already in on the Bruce Wayne secret. Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Okay. Stop using words and listen to me.
Well, did you say spoiler alert that Batman is Bruce Wayne?
Yes.
In case anybody wasn't aware of that?
Right, just that.
For a character that was created in 1939?
I just didn't want to be accused of letting the cat out of the bag, no pun intended, if somebody didn't know.
All right. Magic. We've been talking about this Halloween reboot. Jamie Lee Curtis is returning to the film as Laurie Strode, the original heroine of the original Halloween. Well, new cast member. They've just cast Laurie Strode's daughter in the film, who will be played by Judy Greer.
Just don't make that noise.
No, not in a creepy way.
There's no other way.
No, that was
don't make that noise.
That was sheer love, affection, and admiration. I love Judy Greer.
You know what the rest of us do? We go, I love her.
Right,
we
don't love her. It wasn't like that.
Release.
It was too much.
You're making it creepy. Ralph. It wasn't creepy.
No, we're not making anything.
I'm telling you where it was coming from. It was just coming from sheer.
It was coming from your pants.
We know where it was coming from.
It was just love for Judy.
Terrible human being.
She's the best.
Worst.
I want her in all shows.
Asshole.
Right.
Right.
And sad news, Tom Petty has passed away. The news broke yesterday afternoon, even though he wasn't really dead when that news broke, which made for an awkward situation for everybody involved. CBS News originally announced that.
I saw it in the Hollywood Reporter, and I thought, well, certainly they've checked. And
yeah, sometimes the rush to be first is it's not a good thing in the news business, and it turns out...
It's not good for New York.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not good for America.
Right.
It's not good for the entire world.
Exactly.
And so CBS... Shame on you.
Right.
Shame on you, CBS.
Yeah. Look, you're preaching the choir, sir. Tell me about CBS, right? But he did pass away last night, apparently around 8:40 p.m. This is after a massive cardiac arrest he had at his home in Malibu. They rushed him to UCLA Medical Center, but by then it was too late, as is often the case sometimes with heart attacks like that. So, sad news, we lost... Not only a great singer, songwriter, longtime rock star. I guess he started his career in the 70s, right, Bean? You would know better than I.
Yes, I think his first album came out in 76, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy. But also a father and a husband and a brother and a friend. So sad news, Tom Petty has passed away. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alicia Vikander is 29 years old today. ASAP Rocky's 29. Sean William Scott, very funny and talented actor, is 41. Nev Campbell's 44. as is Lena Headley. Heady, rather. Gwen Stefani's 48.
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. Mm-hmm. You got a $1 million contract.
Yeah.
And you're still waiting for your hot track.
Yeah. Note to self, no more Omar Oki for No Doubt.
For anyone.
Gwen Stefani, 48 years old. Clive Owens, 53. Tommy Lee's 55. Greg Proops, funny actor and comedian, is 58 years old. Lindsay Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac, he is 68 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And that's why I run that light. Because that light takes forever.
Oh, you're talking about the light that Drew Dowdy's out in front of the radio station?
Mm-hmm.
Dave did call that the intersection of death.
Yeah, you get in the left turn lane. If you're not there when the light turns green, the arrow stays red.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stays red for, I don't know, 15 minutes while the green light goes.
Well, I don't think it's
And
think
then
it's, 15,
it's another half hour for the other direction to go. And then finally, if you're sitting there, then it will have a left turn arrow. But you can't go if it's clear because of the arrow.
Have you
and
ever?
That's dumb.
Have you? I know you've run that light.
I've never run that light. If anyone's listening that is involved with the police,
a million times. My question is: have you ever been ticketed for it? Has anyone ever seen you? Have you ever done it?
I haven't.
The wrong
you know why,
car?
Bean? Because at 5:30, there's not a car on the road at that intersection.
Yeah.
So it drives me so much more crazy that arrow is saying don't go.
I do feel like there's a way to build some adjustments into traffic lights.
Right.
For certain times of the day.
How about a flashing yellow?
Yeah.
How about a flashing red even?
Yeah.
So that you have to stop, look around, but then you can go.
See, you got to put that in your platform, Kevin, when you're running for mayor/governor/president.
When I'm running things, everything's going to be different.
All right, so about 5 minutes ago, we heard that Drew Dowdy, number 8 defenseman for the Los Angeles Kings, was at that traffic light out in front of the radio station. We believe he should be being escorted through the front doors about now. I bet if we play the big Drew Dowdy intro...
What's wrong with you?
I bet he'll be in the studio at the end of it.
But why would you risk that?
I'll put $1 down.
Okay, so we get $1, and we have nothing to talk about when it's over.
No, but on the
why
other
we wait till he's here to play it?
Because then we waste the minute that this thing takes when we could be talking to Drew when he's in the studio. We want to get this out of the way before he sits down in front of the microphone.
Put $100 on it.
I don't. I'm not that. I know. No, it's too rich for my blood, son.
Hey, Dave,
hit it, Steve.
Dude, you're all right.
Drew Dowdy,
the guy that makes the impact most games for the Kings, is that man right there, number 8.
Dowdy loads up, scores! The ice is his canvas. The masterpiece awaits.
And a beautiful check by Dowdy, and then Penner goes after Dowdy. And a ruckus breaks out here at the LA blue line. What a hit!
When it comes to hockey, I don't think about it at all. I try not to think about the scouts or anything. I just really want to work my hardest and play my heart out and just play my game and hopefully help my team win.
He's got a real good hip check.
Doing very good.
Check by Dowdy at the blue line on Taylor Hall.
Drew Dowdy, here he comes. Dowdy in front. He scores!
And a nice hip check there from Drew Dowdy.
Kopitar up the middle. Shot. Score! Right down the middle. The Kings got it to Dowdy.
Hey, my name is Drew Dowdy, and I'm really happy to be here, you guys. It's a pleasure on the Kevin and Bean show.
Why is he Mexican?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
My Canadian accent needs
a little
bit of
work. That was your Canadian accent?
I was trying to
do Canadian. Unbelievable.
$1, please.
I do owe you $1, that's for sure. All right, what's the update for the King of
Mexico? What's wrong with you?
Where's Drew? Because I know he's on his way to practice, so we only have him for a limited time.
Right.
So let's get him in here if he's here.
Right, but what I was saying, well, let's hold on to the big intro, because now it's anticlimactic.
Yeah, I do see your point. I mean, after the fact, I see where you were going for.
Beforehand.
What's Dave telling you?
Let's do it again. No, I'm just kidding. Dave's not telling us anything, as you know, Bean.
Okay.
That's Dave's Dave.
All right. So, how's everybody else? you guys catch up on Curb Your Enthusiasm? You watched the return on Sunday night?
Oh, not even had time.
Chip, did you see it?
I did not.
Oh, that would have been a useful thing to
talk
about here.
Let's talk about the controversy Drew Dowdy got in. How about that?
Well, I wanted to talk to Drew about that.
Yeah, that's great, but he's not here.
Drew created a little bit of a furor a couple of weeks ago. He was doing an interview where he made it sound like, hey, if we're not going to win the cup, I'm just going to leave and go play someplace else. I want to win another Stanley Cup.
He didn't really say those words.
That's what people heard, though. People
yes.
heard is it was kind of like a, I'm threatening to leave unless we get better fast. You know what I mean?
He said he wants to win a cup more than anything in the world, and he doesn't care where. And then he later clarified that he wants to win it in Los Angeles again.
Right, right.
All right. I think he's on the phone. Drew?
Hey, what's up?
How are you, man?
Where are you, Drew?
I'm literally running up to the studio right now.
Okay.
Are you in the building?
I think 10 seconds I will be.
Okay. All right, good. All right. A progress report.
I'm running for you guys.
So you're going to come in, you're going to shake our hands, say hello, and then leave immediately to go to practice, right?
Basically, yeah. I got practice in like 40 minutes.
Okay.
I feel bad for making you run now. Now that's on me.
Hey, that light, that traffic light out in front of K-Rock, that's a bitch, right?
Yeah, it was kind of my fault. I didn't think there would be traffic at 7 in the morning.
What?
Yeah, I'm not used to driving at that time.
Drew, can I give you a hint?
What's that?
7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, traffic, a lot of traffic.
Pretty busy time.
We're happy. Oh, there he is. All right, he's walking in down the hallway.
Okay, all right. Close.
And there he is. Oh,
Drew. Ladies and gentlemen. Well, this is going to be brief, but it's going to be fun, I think.
Okay,
nice. There we go. Hey Drew. How are you, man?
Hey, what's up?
Sorry to make you run, man.
Nice to see you.
We had a lot of nice things to say about you before you walked in.
Yeah, I heard you guys.
We were discussing, and I know you're probably tired of it by now, but just to put it on the record and on K-Rock, a little bit of controversy after your remarks a couple of weeks ago about you wanting to win the cup, and you hope it's with Los Angeles, but maybe not. Did people just misinterpret? Did people just run with that and take it in directions you weren't hoping for?
Definitely. The bottom line for that was just I want to win the cup, and I didn't mean in any way that I want to leave L.A., you know. LA's been my favorite team since I was 3 years old, and
that's crazy. Tell us about that. Was it Wayne Gretzky?
Wayne Gretzky. And he's my favorite player. I followed him every single day, and obviously it was hard to watch games living on the East Coast. But yeah, like I said, been a fan of the team since I was 3 years old, and love him to death, and want to be here forever.
What is it that you think that made him so much better than everybody else? I mean, so many people don't even ever make it to the NHL, let alone hold records that may never be broken.
Right. For me, I just think it's his brain, his hockey sense.
He can see it a little bit better and faster than everybody else.
Exactly. He sees it before it happens. And, you know, the one thing that stood out with me about him is I never really thought he had, you know, the top skill at any single skill besides the hockey sense.
Is that right?
He was just good at all of those skills, very good at all of those skills. And so he's consistent in all those aspects, and that's why he was so good.
I was at a wedding this weekend, and Wayne Gretzky walked in, and I was blown away. I was acting like I was taking pictures of the bridesmaids and stuff, but I was getting a picture of Wayne Gretzky instead. Right. Just made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, the first time I met him is a funny story. I had shake his hand over there, but
really at that point,
you can't
wait till he backs away and washes his hands.
And hopefully he's listening. I want to golf with you, Wayne.
Drew, has anyone ever done that to you? Tried to start a conversation, shake a hand, get an autograph or something like that in a urinal?
Oh, you know it. Yeah, you go to like the Jays games, the people will just be lining up behind me at the freaking stall, but
it's a hazard
Whatever.
Of the job.
Used
the
to hazard, it, I guess, right? Yeah.
Did Wayne shake your hand?
Yeah.
He did?
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I didn't use the same hand, you know. Swished it up, but.
Where did it come from, and was it a spin-off of that same controversy we mentioned, that you were going to go to the Maple Leafs, and everybody all of a sudden it was, like, trending all over the world that you wanted to play for Toronto? Did that come out of the same conversation?
Not from the same one, kind of. You know, obviously, growing up, all I did was watch the Leafs. I was the one team that was on TV all the time, so. And I always cheered against them. No matter what team came into town, I cheered against them. So secretly, I think, love the Leafs too, because I did watch them my entire life, and my entire family besides me and my dad are Leaf fans. But
you always rooted against them.
Oh, every single time, yeah.
Why?
Because my whole family liked the Leafs, and I didn't. So I wanted to root against them.
Don't you have to if you're brought up by a family that... No.
No. My dad liked the Canadians. I didn't like them either.
You're just
I like trouble,
LA.
Drew. I know. I like to battle. I like my battles.
All right, so you won the Cup with the Kings in 2012-2014. Was one better?
Ooh.
Maybe the first one? I don't know. I don't know.
The first one was amazing. It was my first one. And, you know, they kind of both meshed together at this point. You know, the times I had at both of them, I couldn't tell you if that was 2012 or 2014 just because it was so much fun. And
the one thing that separates for me is, as a fan, is going to every single one of those games is that it seemed like it was easy in 2012. You guys won at home. You won on the road. I know it wasn't.
Yeah.
But you destroyed people, and you lost very few games.
Yeah, wasn't only one game in the postseason they lost or something that year?
I think we lost maybe two.
It was
in
a
the
crazy
final.
Run, though.
But
yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Oh, it was nuts. Yeah. I couldn't believe how smoothly it went. And then, yeah, in 14, it was a completely different story.
It was a battle to game sevens and overtimes.
That was a battle all right. Yeah. A lot of fun, though.
Now, the last 3 years haven't been fantastic.
Nope.
Tell us about the new coach, the new GM, everything.
Yeah, we look really good. I'm really, really excited about this year, as are all the players and all the coaching staff, GMs, everything. We got a great new look. I know we've been talking about this offense every year, but I honestly believe we've got things in place that are going to create more offense, and we still have that defensive stability that we've always had, and I think that makes us a good team again. But you know, it's not just going to happen overnight. We got a lot of work to do. We got to gel together. We got to make this new system work, and you know, we want to get back to the top. And yeah, like I said, it's going to take a lot of
people
work.
People who don't follow hockey closely don't know how much more you play than most players, and yeah. The best defensive in the league. I mean, you guys play 30 plus minutes. And most of the other players play how much?
Oh, it's
19-20?
Like the best forward, so like Kopi will probably play like 22 minutes. And then obviously there's some guys playing 5 minutes, 8 minutes, stuff like that. So
when Kopi's out of breath, you go, come on, man.
No, never.
I've been out there for 30 minutes.
The one thing I do know is if you're a forward, you got to work a lot harder than you do on D. Not saying that D don't work hard, but you got to be moving a lot more, and your cardiovascular's got to be higher than a defenseman does. And not saying that all the D don't have great cardio, they do too, but like going in on the forecheck, going back on the back check, going in on the forecheck, then changing, like I would be just dead. So
yeah,
that's why I just kind of stay back.
You don't give him a hard time. You just got to hang back.
Yeah.
We're talking to Drew Doughty, number 8 defenseman for the Los Angeles Kings. By the way, we have a pair of tickets to give away for the home opener, Kings versus the Flyers,
nice.
This Thursday night at Staples Center. Drew, pick a number between 1 and 100, please.
8.
Number 8. Sure, why not? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number if you want to call. Caller 8 wins tickets to see the Kings home opener this Thursday against Staples Center.
I know you have
Staples
to go.
Center.
I have two more quick questions. One,
yeah, no problem.
Teeth.
Yeah.
Just wait it out to the end of your career.
No, I'm gonna get her. I'm gonna get her done this year sometime. I got engaged this past summer, and
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So getting married next summer. So I gotta have some teeth for that.
And you're planning it? I assume you're planning the whole thing.
No.
Not even a little bit?
No, she's back home still right now. She's not in L.A. yet because she's doing all the planning, and I'm just, you know,
here. Kevin, you should help Drew out before he starts putting in some fancy fake teeth for the wedding photos. What's your policy on that?
Oh, yeah, my policy on wedding photos that no one will listen to, and I know you have to go, so I'll just say this quickly, is you plump up and you look bad. And then you put your wedding photos out. And for the rest of your life, people are going, you look great. They look at the picture. They look at you. Otherwise, you look your best in the wedding photos. And then they don't think. They think, oh, he's lost himself.
See?
For the rest of your life.
That is true.
No one will take my advice. Will you?
I will. I guarantee you, like 90% of my photos, I don't have my teeth in anyway. I just need them for like the special ones. You know?
Get a bad haircut and get all puffy and pimply. And seriously, you're gonna be happy about it for the rest of your life. All right. Last question, Kevin, for our guest.
That's it. That was the last one. Was the teeth?
All right.
Yeah, we know.
Are you
have
sure
to
you
go.
Don't got one more?
I can if you want to stay, but I know you have to go.
I don't know.
I have one more for you,
okay.
Drew,
okay.
And that is because we also have a lot of Ducks fans that listen to this station.
Oh, really?
Besides the fact that they're in the same division, is there any natural rivalry that you guys have in your mind against the Ducks because you play in markets that are so close to each other?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it's not crazy. Well, now it's crazy, but I know when I first came in the league, we were just kind of like, there's supposed to be a rivalry here. We don't really feel it. Mm-hmm. And then we played them in playoffs, and then, yeah, the rivalry's there.
Does it start with the fans? Do the rivalries start with the fans?
Yeah, like, I love playing in their arena because our fans, like,
travel.
They
right.
kind of yeah, they travel there, and they're actually kind of louder at times in the pond. So I'm sure the Ducks fans are going to be happy about me
saying that. Because
the
pond can't draw, that's why.
Hey, right? Hey, there you go.
All right, we'll leave with a little controversy. Drew, so glad of you to pop in here, man. We know what a busy schedule you have, a busy week getting the season up and running. Fingers crossed it goes great for you and the boys this year. We'll be following you. We love it, man.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you guys so much. And, yeah, we're gonna be good this year.
Fantastic. Thank you, man.
One of our favorite guests, author Brad Meltzer, is going to be joining us coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, I think we've got a lot of time, a little bit of time here to squeeze in some of your phone calls on the Kevin Bean Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. It's our Kevin Bean voicemail. We got it set up 24-7. You call and leave a message on any topic like this one.
King of Mexico went on a vacation, a yacht orgy party in Greece, which was bizarre, and that's what this first call's about.
Dave, man, what happened to you? You were so cool before. Now you're all rich. Rich Dave. I don't like Rich Dave. I miss the, hey, Kevin and Bean, what's going on? How you guys doing? Oh, I'm just having fun. Now it's all like, I'm on a yacht. I'm going to take my dog, Rhonda Ruffy, to go get a manicure.
He is 100% accurate.
Except for that Dave's not rich. He has rich friends.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
That's what's going on with that. I think this person's doing a parody of Thunder by Imagine Dragons.
Butt stuff. You're the butt stuff. Butt stuff. Butt stuff.
All right.
Okay. This guy's probably having a better birthday than any of us.
It's my birthday today, and I just flew indoor Vegas skydiving with Travis Pastrana. What the hell? What kind of amazing birthday is that? Better than yours, that's for sure. Suck it!
He's not wrong.
You don't hear birthday birds very often.
No, you don't.
But that guy called with that one. Here's a podcast listener.
I'm sorry. The real Bean can't come to the phone right now. Why? Because he's dead.
That's just hurtful.
Here's the actual podcast listener.
Hey, guys. I'm a podcast listener from San Francisco. You're welcome. I work at the airport, and today, legit, some human being literally pooped on the floor at the airport.
All right. Where do you think she's going with this, Bean?
Oh, I can't imagine. I hope she didn't have to clean it up.
So I just want to know, Omar, was that you? Because you're a weird, poopy, weirdo creep.
I mean, that is true.
I'm not going to say anything, but you're welcome.
And you are a weird, poopy, weirdo creep?
No doubt about it.
All right.
Hey, little bitches. So I was listening to the podcast about when people buy something and it comes and it's not what you expect. I had a similar experience where I bought these really badass knee-high boots, clicked in my size, joke, paid $30. When they came, they were made for Barbie. So, yeah, not only did I get burned, guys, but I got charbroiled.
Bring it back, charbroiled. By the way, the number one thing that contributes to people not getting what they expect on eBay seems to be not being real careful to double-check the size. You assume it's going to be 2 feet. Make sure it doesn't say 2 inches somewhere in the description.
Yeah, little Barbie boots is not necessarily what you want.
Right. Was I the only one who noticed that listening to the Flat Earther was like exactly like listening to Kevin's terrorist situation rant? Like the logic and the sentence structure and the rambling was the exact same. Pretty sure that means Kevin's a flat earther.
Can't argue with that logic.
Oh, man, I overslept my alarm this morning. I'm going to be late for work. But you know what? I think I'm going to get out of it. I'll just tell them I got stuck in gravity. Everything's going to be fine, I'm pretty sure.
I don't like the direction this is going.
Ground control, Kevin is down. Does he know orbit more than gum?
Well written.
I love you guys. But I started myself laughing when Kevin said, satellites aren't in space, are they? Really, Kevin? Really?
We were all surprised, sir.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
He wants to put his own satellites in space to prove that the Earth is flat.
Do satellites go in space?
Yeah. Of course
where do.
Do
you think they go, Kevin?
Was that a legitimate question, Kevin?
No, I think they're in the orbit.
Where do you think the orbit is?
All right, let's move on.
Where let's do you think the orbit around space. A planet is?
In space, of course. Don't be ridiculous.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Like, we're being ridiculous, by the way. You hear that?
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 9.
You know, Kevin, we live in such troubled times right now. I'm glad that some things never change, and you can still count on Book Club Tuesday here on the Kevin and
right?
Bean Show. At least that's the constant that we can all set our watches by, right? Our friend Brad Meltzer is on the phone, number one New York Times bestselling author. His 12th and 13th books in his Ordinary People Change the World series are out, available today in stores and online. Hey, Brad, welcome back, my friend. How are you?
Oh, always good to hear your voice. Love it.
Great to hear from you as well. You know, you've written so many different books on so many different topics for all ages. How do I phrase this? Are kids' books much easier to write? Or are they about the same, or are they more difficult than writing books for adults?
I mean, listen, I guess I should say they're different, considering one I'm, like, murdering people, and in the other I'm trying to inspire people. But the reality is, you know, I don't write them any differently. A good story to me is a good story. You know, maybe I'll explain a big word here or there, but I don't use that many big words. I think, you know, you have to tell a good story, and whether you know, we all know from watching The Simpsons or Bugs Bunny when you were little that there were things that made you laugh and things that made your parents laugh, and maybe you were laughing for different reasons, but you were still reacting to something that was amazing in front of you, and that's what you have to do. Whatever your audience is.
Well, as you know from being on the program many times with this this book series of Ordinary People Change the World, I mean, these are becoming essential reading in so many families' homes. Why don't you describe for folks who aren't familiar with the series what you're trying to do these books?
Yeah, no, and I was just tired of my own kids looking at reality TV show stars, and people who are famous are being famous. Our kids are being fed garbage through their eyes every day. And we got to do better at giving better heroes. And so we started with I'm Amelia Earhart and I'm Abraham Lincoln. And we've talked plenty about, you know, my son loves sports. I did I Am Jackie Robinson. My daughter loves dogs. I did for her I Am Jane Goodall. And she loves, you know, people laugh. So we did I Am Lucille Ball for her. And the truth is we even did I'm Jim Henson. I have to mention for my son who's just creative. But where the culture is today is we need to do better. And so I never know where the culture is going to be. I start the books a year in advance. And here we are suddenly with I Am Gandhi and I Am Sacagawea. And I have to say, never have we needed these heroes more.
A lot of people now are even too young to remember the movie Gandhi from the 80s, which I think was the introduction for that historical figure for a lot of people. I mean, he does not get talked about much anymore. He's almost lost to history for most of us, I think.
Not only lost history in the way we talk about him, but in his lessons. I mean, how many times do we have to make the same mistake over and over? We are, as you know, we're a culture at war right now. We don't listen to each other. We fight with each other. But I wrote I Am Gandhi to teach my kids nobody wins in a fight. Nobody does. And, you know, this is what I call the age of judgment. All we do now is judge each other. You know, we played this amazing game for the past 2 years called us versus them. And they're wrong and we're right. And they're morons and we're smart and whatever. And listen, there are certain things and injustices you have to stand up for. But the thing that I think has gotten lost is just the ability to have active and meaningful conversation with the opposing side. And I'm tired of playing us versus them. It's time to get back to we. The government's clearly not going to do that for us. The leaders, you know, in the White House and in Congress are never going to let that happen. And the only way that happens is that's why they call it we, if we do it ourselves. And so I Am Gandhi is literally there to teach my kids that you have to do better at making friends than making enemies.
Do you feel sometimes like you're shouting in the middle of, I don't know, a hurricane or something and zero people can hear you and it's frustrating?
You mean just because I come out with I Am Gandhi on the day that's Gandhi's birthday that become and the day of nonviolence is the day we have the biggest mass shooting in history?
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. I mean, you can't not stop and go, like, what's the point? But Gandhi is the point, and ask that question. And, you know, one of my favorite moments in the book, those moments when I write these for my kids, but I need the lesson, is Gandhi is his greatest enemy at the time is this guy named General Smuts. And General Smuts is like, you know, he sounds like a supervillain, right, with a twirly mustache. But General Smuts is the guy who wants to put him in jail, who keeps arresting him and locking him up. And eventually along the path, Gandhi sends Smuts a present, a gift. And the gift is a pair of homemade sandals that Gandhi himself makes. And Smuts is undone by this. He's like, what are you giving me this for? And he says, better to make friends than to make enemies. Wow. Let me repeat that in this culture where we live today. Better to make friends than to make enemies. And I was like, my gosh, I need that lesson today because, I watch the news and like everyone else, you want to just, reach through the screen and strangle someone. Mm-hmm. But we need to do better as a culture, and the only way it starts is with us.
You know, you brought up the mass shooting yesterday, and it does seem to be a problem that nobody either has a solution for or has a solution that they're willing to do. Do you think there would be room for a peaceful revolution on a topic like that if there were a Gandhi-like figure today that could organize and inspire people to just figure out a way to solve it?
You know, I think the one thing we forget is we think that there's like somehow a magical person who comes along, whether it's Dr. King, whether it's Rosa Parks, whether it's a Gandhi, and, is just born at the right time and makes everything happen. And what those three all do, and it's so relevant to the shooting today that's happened in the, yesterday, is that it's not magic that makes these people work. It's just being a good human being. And what they do and what they all have in common is they shine a light and show the ridiculousness of how people are being treated. And at some point, even the people who are racists, who are doing, awful, awful job their whole lives, in Dr. King's situation, it's watching kids get hosed with fire hoses and attacked by dogs on television. In Gandhi's era, it's the same thing, but with Indians in India, watching them be treated terribly. Eventually, the people look and they say that magic word that actually changes the world, enough, enough, I've had enough. And I have to believe. Do I think it's coming tomorrow? Do I think the magic person's going to appear like an elf and save the day for all of us? Like, I hope so, but I don't know. But what I do know is that we as a culture start saying enough, that's when the world gets changed.
I think more people are starting to say that. Don't you get the feeling like it's building?
I couldn't agree more. I feel like, we make it like this is a new thing, and we're at a height of anger with each other right now. Historically, I've been, my love of history knows no bounds, and we were angry at Reagan, and you're angry. People were, of course, angry at Clinton. They were angry at Bush. They were angry when, he broke his promise, going in order to Clinton. Each one, George W. Bush, couldn't be more angry when he was elected, those who were on, whatever side you were on. And then it only gets worse and worse. Obama, the right got angrier than ever, and Trump, the left got angrier than ever. It's like we're playing a top this game. And I do believe there comes a point where it has to be enough. And this, I really feel like we're, and listen, I hope that there's not a every day proves another new high. But I think that the one thing, we're not going to solve the problem by screaming at each other. I'm convinced of that. There's no way that you're going to go, oh, I feel so much better now. You were totally right. I'm going to give up all my convictions. The one thing we have to do is do the hardest thing of all, is you got to look through someone else's eyes and understand how they view the world. And no one on any side, and we can, take out the Nazis and take out the dumbasses that, are totally extreme. But for the average person in the middle, both sides want one thing, a better America. They really do. And if you suddenly start realizing that they just want the same thing you do, you take the teeth out of the villain. And we have to do that and step forward together because it ain't going to one side is not winning this war.
This is why we love Brad, you guys. The new books are the 12th and 13th in the Ordinary People series. They are available today online and in bookstores. One is I Am Gandhi. The other is I Am Sacagawea. Trust me on this and listen to Ralph and listen to anybody else who's bought these books and read them for their kids. They will thank you for it. They will love it. They will have new heroes to worship. It's a wonderful series and wonderfully written, as everything that Brad does is. Hey, next time you're in town, I hope you carve out a little time and come in and see us again, Brad. We always love having you in the studio.
I talked to Dave and the you better believe I want to come in the studio and give you guys hugs.
Fantastic.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Fred. Let me just say thank you for helping with this series because you're bringing and helping people build libraries for their kids and their grandkids and their nieces and nephews. And that's how you change the world. You got to give kids better heroes.
Happy to do it. Have a great day, Brad. Thank you.
You too.
It is 8:53.
We have two separate people in the news right now who both tattooed their eyeballs. Two separate people tattooing their eyeballs. We'll tell you about that, plus give you some more tickets for Cal Jam 17 and our Kevin Amin exclusive breakfast with Foo Fighters 1 week from today in the HD Radio Sound Space at KROQ. You can win those coming up just after 9. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on Tuesday.
How close can I get?
During the breakfast with, how close can you get to the band?
Yeah.
I mean, a couple of feet, I think, you'd be in front of them.
Any closer.
I think we need to maybe have a guard on Ralph.
We need a little bit closer. just close enough for this.
Nope.
Come on.
Nope.
We'll get close.
I don't think they want that, though.
They
Ralph.
Want it.
Got to protect our guests.
You don't know. They want it. This is not acceptable to me.
Okay.
In the light of Hugh Hefner's passing, this news hit the internet today. Brett Ratner is apparently developing a biopic about Hugh Hefner's life story. We don't want do we want this in the hands of Brett Ratner?
He's
Rush
the,
Hour's Brett Ratner.
Yeah, Rush Hour guy, right?
I mean, all of a sudden, Hugh Hefner's got a funny black sidekick.
Like, Hef, where are all the Playmate bunnies, Hef?
I don't like it.
Yeah,
I need someone with a little depth, a little finesse, a light touch. Need a Scorsese or a Spielberg or one of these fellas.
Tyler Perry?
Tyler Perry
right,
would be a good one.
Good.
Madea's Hugh Hefner. And then on top of it, he has cast his pal to play the role.
Who's his pal?
Jared Leto as Hugh Hefner.
Oh. I mean, he's a great actor.
I think so, too.
Hugh Hefner.
I don't see it.
Hugh Hefner.
What are you saying?
I'm saying...
Hugh Hefner?
Jared Leto's not Hugh Hefner.
But he...
Yep. I just told you what happened. I just told you the world as it sits.
He might be.
I'm telling you
right.
how it is.
But I'm telling you how it might be.
I'm saying Scorsese, DiCaprio. Boom. Make it happen.
Or right? Zac Efron. He's adorable.
Oh, boy. Why does creepy man have to come in and do things and say stuff?
That was on tape, you guys. I didn't just say that.
No, but I'm going to play it a lot.
Zac Efron, he's adorable.
Jeez. Can even you hear it, Bean, when you hear that? Can you at least, can you even?
What's there to...
I just listen. Right, hold on. Just listen and just see if you can feel...
Try to separate yourself and react to this.
Okay.
Okay, here you go. Ready?
Zac Efron, he's adorable. I don't see any syllable of that that... deserves
to be
disparaged.
See, that's what you're looking at. You're looking at your words and everything else.
There's a lot of appropriate and
there's
accurate
a lot of creep that comes no, along with that.
There's no creep.
Yeah,
I'm just saying
it's Zac between the lines, Bean.
Zac Efron is adorable. That's all I'm saying.
The music is louder than the words. That's what I'm saying.
No one can argue with my sentiment in that statement. Zac Efron, he's adorable.
Is he
not adorable?
But why do you say it like a
I wouldn't use the word adorable for him, no.
Like a 63-year-old matronly aunt.
Who's the old neighbor on Family Guy? That's who Bean is.
Herbert.
Hey, Chris. Bean with his walker.
He's adorable.
On the sidewalk. Zac Efron's adorable.
I stand by it.
Yeah, we know.
You guys
you
don't know, man.
Stand by everything.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Lil'
Kim. I'm sorry. I don't have Tom Brokaw step in here for a minute. Tom?
Cool.
I didn't know he was here.
Lil' Kim claims she was offered a lot of money to pose nude for a Playboy magazine. But she said no. After the death of Hugh Hefner last week, Lil' Kim said the following. I remember turning down a non-disclosed seven-figure offer from you. Until this day, I regret it.
Wow.
She regrets turning it down?
Thank you. Thank you, Tom.
That was offered Lil' Kim $1 million to pose naked?
Yeah. She said she regrets it not because of the money, but because it would have been an honor to be a part of this beautiful man's archive and historic catalog.
Wasn't she mostly
women.
Naked most of her life?
Yeah, she would go to premieres with just nipple pasties on, right. Show up on red carpets, just all boobs akimbo.
She was doing it anyway.
It was my early radio name, by the way.
Was it
boobs
akimbo?
Yeah. So for a cool meal, she could have just done what she did.
Just drop the pasties.
Right?
I'd do it.
Drop the pasties?
Yep.
And sad news. Ah. I like this guy's music so much. Tom Petty has passed away about 8:40 last night. He finally succumbed to a cardiac arrest at the UCLA Medical Center. He'd been rushed there from his home in Malibu earlier in the day, and there were varying accounts of whether he had passed away or not throughout the day. That was unfortunate, but he did indeed pass at 8:40 last night. And Yeah, you know Tom Petty's work, for God's sakes. He's been a hit maker for three decades, but he also worked with the Traveling Wilburys and worked with a lot of other performers. He's a very talented guy. And so sad news that he passed at the age of 66 last night. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lindsay Buckingham is 68 years old. Greg Proops turns 58. Tommy Lee's 55. Clive Owens, 53. Lena Headey is 44 years old today. Nev Campbell's 44. Sean William Scott's 41. ASAP Rocky's 29. Alicia Vikander is 29 as well. And Gwen Stefani, our own Gwen Stefani, is 48 years old today. Can we hear a little Gwen? A little
Look at your watch now. You're a super hot female. You got a $1 million contract, and you're still waiting for your hot track.
She's never sounded better.
I think Blake's having a bad influence on her. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Orlando Sees Alternative Rock. It's the world-famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
I was listening to a show, I don't know what show it was, a very smart guy on the radio today was talking about what sweet boys Imagine Dragons are for stopping by that children's hospital in Arizona and jamming with the kids, sick kids, jamming with them on their instruments. So fun.
Yeah, when he called them sweet boys, though, we all got a really ugly feeling.
I wish we had that audio.
Right? Oh, we can get it.
We're going to have to at some point.
Yeah.
They're such sweet boys.
I did recoil with horror at a completely sincere and appropriate compliment to some nice young men who went out of their way to help some children.
Why couldn't you say it that way? How about they're great guys? I can't believe what they did. Not, they're such sweet boys. your old aunt says that.
There's nothing wrong with calling them like I see them, you guys.
But you see them so weird.
You see them as an old aunt.
Stop you see him as an elderly woman complimenting some passing Christmas carolers.
Stop being an older woman. That's what we're saying.
No, they're such sweet boys. I made them ginger snaps.
Yes. Yeah, it's a little creepy.
What's wrong with you?
Just complimenting Imagine Dragons. That's all I'm doing. You shouldn't be able to find any fault with that. I'm saying nice things
Great
about
guys.
Nice people. Great guys.
Yep.
Terrific men.
Try that.
Terrific men. I'll add all of those things.
They're such sweet boys.
Ralph is here with our final look at the show. He's being here on a Tuesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
You're spectacular. What's going on is we lost Tom Petty last night. Legendary singer, songwriter, band leader, of course, the Heartbreakers and Traveling Wilburys. He was in that band as well. I didn't know this, but he was born in Gainesville, Florida, and learned how to play guitar from a guy named Don Felder.
Oh. How did he know Don Felder?
They grew up in the same neighborhood. Felder would go on to be one of the founding members of a band called the Eagles. And Tom started a band called Mudcrutch there in Florida, which included guitarist Mike Campbell and keyboard player Ben Mott Tench, and they went on to form the Heartbreakers, and the rest is history. But a bunch of smash hit songs, Stop Dragging My Heart Around with Stevie Nicks, and Free Fall, and American Girl, and Don't Do Me Like That, Last Dance with Mary Jane, so many songs that I loved.
So many great songs.
And he had a massive heart attack yesterday. They rushed him to UCLA Medical Center from his home in Malibu. But by last night, he had succumbed. Just 66 years old, so that is sad news.
The music that you and I grew up with and has been the soundtrack to our whole lives, Ralph, we're starting to get to that age where we're losing Steely Dan members, Eagles members, people like Tom Petty.
Yeah.
I'm fearful for the news every day now when I wake up.
Are you pretty sad, though?
I'm pretty sad because I'm thinking about Eric Clapton. I'm thinking about the Rolling Stones. And I'm thinking about so many other great artists.
Stones aren't going anywhere. Look at them. They're 100 now. And they still put on three-hour concerts.
They're
going
to live to 200, those guys.
I think they've been replaced by robots, quite frankly. I don't think we'll ever see the end of them.
I'm just worried about living in a world without a Bruce Springsteen in it, you know? I mean,
what's wrong with you? Enjoy today while you have him.
Yeah, to say that to Tom Petty.
Enjoy today while you have Bruce Springsteen, though.
I'm just saying.
What's wrong with you? Don't worry about it.
I can't.
Don't borrow trouble.
Yeah, you're ruining every day till he dies.
Right, but
enjoy every day.
Right, but when you see Tom Petty go, all that is that's just a precursor of whoever the next dude's going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, technically he's a guy before another guy, yes. But don't, like Ralph said, you're borrowing sorrow from the future. Stop it.
It's bad enough when they go. We can miss them, but you don't have to spend your days now worrying about it.
Okay. All right. I'll try to take that note.
You know why they call today the present? Because it's a gift. All right.
So don't look a gift day in the mouth.
Okay.
As they've always said.
No one's ever said
they
that.
They always say
no
it.
One has said that. Zero people.
You guys ever see a movie called The First Wives Club?
No.
With Diane Keaton and Bette Midler and Goldie Hawn? It doesn't sound like the kind of movie. No. Enjoy.
Plus Bette Midler.
It's a very funny film about a group of women who get together after their marriages fell apart to help each other out and get some revenge in the process because their husbands have all dumped them for much younger women. And so they plot revenge on their husbands and make their lives a living hell, which is wildly entertaining. Well, they're going to make a TV series out of it.
All right.
Paramount TV, which will soon be the new name of Spike TV, are developing a TV series on that basis, and it's going to be awesome.
The end is near.
The end is not near. They're already doing Heathers, the series, there on that same channel. So they're taking a lot of movies and developing them into TV series.
I think it's a law now you're not allowed to come up with a new concept for a TV show or a movie.
Boy, it sure
it
seems that
has
way,
to be
it?
A remake.
It's kind of crazy. It's a new DVD day for people who still buy DVDs. And Blu-ray, of course. You can get Dead Men Tell No Tales, the new Pirates of the Caribbean film comes out today. Wizard of Lies, the Robert De Niro biopic about that Ponzi scheme guy.
Oh, Bernie Madoff?
Yeah.
Oh.
What the heck? What just happened? Kevin came up with a name about a guy who was in the news. And more importantly, he was right, Chip. You're right. He didn't say Pink Fruit Mountain or anything. He just had the guy's name right there.
How dare you.
Michelle Pfeiffer co-stars with that. And Churchill, story of Winston Churchill. Brian Cox and Miranda Richardson star in that feature film. So we check all those out today. Today's celebrity birthdays. Alicia Vikander is 29 years old. ASAP Rocky, also 29. Sean William Scott is 41. Nev Campbell and Lena Headey both turned 44 today. Clive Owen is 53. Tommy Lee is 55. Greg Proops is 58. Lindsay Buckingham is 68 years old today. And Gwen Stefani, our own Gwen, is 48 years old today.
How's it hanging? I'm David Pumpkins.
Right.
And I'm going to scare the hell out of you.
You're right.
Any question?
None at all. None at all.
I didn't really get the tie-in to Gwen Stefani's birthday.
I never look at Dave S. Pumpkins in the mouth. It's another saying everybody
says. Sure.
Never look at David S. Pumpkins in the mouth.
Heard that my whole life.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Wednesdays on the Kevin and Bean Show. The Wheel. Oh, Bad Animal Voices.
Yeah!
Which everybody loves without question. Also, we've got your tickets for Cal Jam 17 and our breakfast with Foo Fighters tomorrow morning.